Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And that's as far as reading in Hebrews 11. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at verse 7 together. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you believe what God tells us concerning the future? Much of our lives are spent preparing for a future that may or may not be. For example, we get home insurance just in case our house catches on fire or someone breaks in and steals our possessions. We get car insurance just in case we might get in an accident. But what about preparing for a future that is not just a possibility, but a future that is certain, that is promised? If we like to prepare for things that are possibilities, is it not more fitting for us to prepare for a future that is certain? God's people are called to live a life of preparation. So the issue is this: do we believe what God says concerning the future? And if we believe what God says concerning the future, how ought we to prepare for it? Specifically, do we believe that a day of judgment is coming? If we do, is it not wise, is it not fitting for us to be ready, to be found prepared for that day? As we continue our series through Hebrews 11, we have seen that faith is a knowledge, it's a conviction, it's an assurance. But true faith is not just an academic thing. True faith is a living and active thing as well. If you believe something, you will not only say certain things, you will do certain things. You will live a certain way. If you are convicted that some event is going to happen, you will act accordingly. You will prepare. So today we look at this theme. By faith, Noah proclaimed that deliverance from destruction will be given to those who believe God's word. By faith, Noah proclaims something. By faith, Noah proclaims that deliverance from destruction will be given to those who trust in his word. And our first point, then, we look at the promise that God gives to Noah. What is the word or the message that is revealed to Noah concerning a certain future? Well, the message that the Lord gives to Noah is twofold. First of all, there is destruction, impending doom on the horizon, but there is also, secondly, a promise of deliverance from this destruction. So first of all, our passage says in verse 7, Noah was warned by God concerning events yet unseen. God has said to Noah something very clear. In no uncertain terms, Noah, you are being told something that is coming. It's being revealed to you, something which you do not now see. It remains unseen. So Noah had to believe it by faith. He had to trust God's word that what God said would truly come to be. And what God said was this: the earth is going to be destroyed. Noah, you are living in the days of preparation for impending destruction. You live in a time, in a day of great wickedness, Noah, and I am going to destroy all flesh. We read this in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to make an end to all flesh. The earth is filled with violence, and I'm going to destroy the earth and all that breathe the breath of life. All that creeps upon the face of the earth, and the birds in the air will be destroyed. God gives the warning, and the warning is clear. The waters of the flood are coming, and death is certain. But the flip side is also promised. You, Noah, you will be spared. Not only does Noah have the promise of coming impending destruction, but Genesis 6 says, I will establish my covenant with you. You and your family will be brought into the ark. Noah, I'm going to spare you. I'm going to spare your family. I'm going to keep you and a portion of the created animals. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to give you a vessel of deliverance, if you will. You will not be swept away with the ungodly. You will not be destroyed along with the wicked because you have found favor in my sight. Now, from this promised destruction, we can learn one thing for sure, is that God does not take sin lightly. One clear application is this: sin is serious. Sin will be cleansed. Sin will be dealt with. The wicked will be destroyed. God is a consuming fire. There are consequences to sin. And even though we do not now see it, we know that judgment is coming. Because as Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, God warned Noah of events yet unseen. God in his grace warned Noah of a day of judgment in advance. And faith believes what God says about coming destruction. Now, although we do not now see it, we know that a day of destruction is coming. A day of judgment. A day of woe. A day of fire. Because we, like Noah, are living in a time when God has promised that a certain destruction is coming. Read with me from 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3 verse 4. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So Peter here makes a comparison between those living in the days of Noah and those living in our days. As it was necessary in the days of Noah, so it is necessary for us to live by faith. Because as the people in Noah's day, so the people of our day continue to think that this world will exist, that everything goes on as it always has. But like Noah, we need to be reminded, we need to be clear, we need to be convinced of the fact that God keeps his word. A day of destruction is coming, so we need to be prepared. By faith, you need to be ready for the day of judgment. You don't see it now, but you can be certain that it will come and its presence is near. If we are to flee the coming wrath, it is necessary for us to know the way of escape, is it not? The way of escape, the way to flee the coming wrath, in Noah's day, was to get in the boat. So it is for us. We need to be joined to the God-appointed means of deliverance. We need to be joined by faith to Jesus Christ. That's how you prepare yourself for the day of judgment, is by being grafted into Christ by faith. Being ready for the day that he has promised. Well, since Noah was a man of faith who believed the promises of God, he would then act accordingly. He would act out this faith. Now, what did Noah do? What is this living faith made evident? Well, the act of obedience was the building of the ark. Knowing that destruction was coming and the ark was the God-appointed means of deliverance, Noah set out to put his faith into practice. So Noah, receiving the instruction of God that there is a coming destruction, but there is also the promise of deliverance, Noah goes out and he builds the boat. He was moved by fear, and the building of the ark was an act of faith. Now, it was really an act of faith, because Noah was building an ark long before the flood was evident, building this giant barge on dry land. And even in the process of building the ark, he had to live by faith that the flood would not come until God said the flood would come, and that the ark would be sufficient to provide Noah a means of safety through the water. In other words, if Noah built an ark and he was half done and the flood came, it would be useless. And if Noah was on the ark and the ark sunk, it would continue to be a useless means of deliverance. So Noah had to live by faith and trust that God would keep his word. And every step of the way, Noah acted in faith. He built the ark according to God's design. Noah constructed the ark for the saving of his household. Now we have to remember the context in which this ark had been built. Genesis 6 says that every inclination of the heart was totally evil all the time. Man was wicked, and they were living an incredibly long time. Man was living almost, humans were living almost 1,000 years. One man's life, 1,000 years. And this long span of life and great strength that they had in their bodies enabled them to do great wickedness, so that God's heart is grieved. The times are growing dark. The people were increasing in number and in wickedness. But there's another challenge to the faith. Not only the context in which Noah lived, but the sheer size of this boat, this giant ark. A boat of this size had never been seen before. And the time that it would take Noah about 120 years to construct this ark. It was massive. Perhaps some of you have been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky to see how truly huge this ship would have been. The amount of labor, the amount of resource, the consistency of his faith. Day after day, week after week, year after year. 120 years building this ark. He was not too proud, and nor was he scared of the insults of people. And in fact, Scripture calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Noah's work during that 120 years and his words, his presence, and his preaching proclaimed this truth. Repent. The day of wrath, the day of destruction is at hand. Flee the coming wrath. In some ways, Noah is like Jonah. You remember Jonah, who was sent to the people of Nineveh, and the message of Jonah was very clear. Jonah preached this word to the Ninevites: 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was the message of Jonah. That was his whole sermon. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So the message of Noah in our passage is very clear. When the ark is done, destruction is coming. When the ark is finished, the flood will arrive. Today, Noah would say, today is the day of salvation. The flood is not yet here. Today is the day of salvation. The door in the ark, if you will, is still open. But one day soon, that door will be shut. The day of salvation, the sun will set. People do not take seriously the warning that they hear. Most people in the days of Noah, our passage says, continued to eat and drink, act like nothing had happened. Life goes on, getting married, having feasts, and yet their days were numbered. The act of obedience that Noah has and the lack of interest that his neighbors had is a warning. In a similar way, Scripture will say, let he who has ears, let him hear. Because the day of destruction is coming. Its appearance will be sudden and without warning, like a thief in the night. When Jesus Christ comes back on the clouds of glory, people will be eating and drinking and getting married and going on with life. They'll be probably investing in the stock market, building their houses, driving their cars. Life will go on. It will be just a normal day. And then suddenly, without warning, the day of wrath will come upon them. I want to read another passage, this time from Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives us the very same warning. In Luke 12, starting at verse 35. Luke 12 at 35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The application that Jesus gives and the application of Noah's obedience are one and the same. As long as it is the day of salvation, there is time to repent and believe to flee the coming wrath. God keeps his word. The water would not come until the ark was finished. But when the water came, its arrival ushered in the destruction of untold hosts. The water rose higher than the peaks of the mountain. It remained on the face of the earth for over a year. Everything that walked on land or flew through the air died, everything and everyone except those whom God had spared in his ark. So the application is very clear. Be ready, because God is not going to send you a warning in addition to the warning he has already given in his word. The day of wrath is soon, it is impending, and you must be ready. Well, how do we need to get ready? Well, like Noah, you need to get in the ark. The door is still open. The day of salvation is still upon us. You need to get into the ark. You need to get into Jesus Christ. You need to be joined to Christ by faith today. You don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Well, now that we have considered this act of obedience, in our last point, we look at the message that was declared. What did the work and words of Noah declare? What did they accomplish? Well, the consequence of Noah's faith and the end result of his work, again, is twofold. First of all, the world was condemned by what Noah did. And secondly, his house was saved by what Noah did. The first thing we read back in Hebrews 11, verse 7 was this. Through faith, Noah constructed an ark and by it condemned the world. Now, we don't tend to think that way. By the construction of the ark, Noah condemned the world. How did Noah's actions condemn the world? Well, the Lord does not send judgment without first declaring that this judgment was coming. Although it would come upon them suddenly and many would be unprepared, it was not for lack of warning. God waited with that generation 120 years. God did not just suddenly swoop up Noah and his family and bring them to safety. He left Noah in the context in which he lived for 120 years to be a preacher of righteousness, to build the ark visibly for them to see. He did not do his work in secret, nor did he do his work in silence. So when the day of judgment comes, the people living in the days of Noah could not say, "We didn't know. We didn't have a warning." They could not plead ignorance. In this way, the judgment that would fall upon them would be all the more severe, would be harsher, because they hardened their hearts and they did not heed the words and warning of Noah. As 1 Peter 3 says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah. God waited patiently for 120 years, causing the gospel to go forth, the word to be proclaimed, repent, flee the coming wrath. So it is in our day. God's patience is giving people time to repent. One reason why Jesus Christ has not returned in the clouds of glory yet is because of God's patience. God is patiently causing the gospel to go forth. Now it is true, Romans 1, everyone is without an excuse. Creation itself, the internal witness of the conscience, is enough to leave all people without excuse. But Noah was added. Noah was added as a witness to preach and to plead with their neighbor that they would repent at the presence of the impending flood. So it is today that God adds you, that God puts you on this world to, by your life, to be a witness, and by your words to proclaim this singular truth, that the day of judgment is coming and you need to be ready, that your friends, that your neighbors, that your coworkers need to repent before the day of judgment comes. God gives many warnings, creation itself with the upheaval, reminding this world that it's going to end. Most people choose to ignore that sign, so the Lord sends his people. He leaves his church in the world to be a light, to be a beacon, to be a city on the hill, calling people to repent. Your word and your works are evidence to the world, which one day will be used as proof of God's patience. The day of judgment is coming. Brothers and sisters, destruction is at hand. Repent, flee the coming wrath. And as we make that message known and clear, if people harden their hearts and refuse to believe, their blood is on their own heads. But let us be clear. The time is short. Our world is growing old. It's wearing out. Creation and the church cries out for the return of Jesus Christ. So the first message of Noah, the consequence of Noah's presence, was the world was condemned. But the second message that the building of the ark proclaimed was a message of rescue. Hebrews 11, verse 7 continues, Noah constructed the ark for the saving of his household. The water of the flood and the water of baptism, for that matter, speak two truths. It speaks death and life. It speaks destruction and rescue. What makes the difference is this. Are you in the ark or are you not? Are you joined to Christ or are you not? Are you living by faith or are you ignoring the truth? Because of God's covenantal kindness, Noah and his family were saved. He becomes an heir of righteousness, and his family is delivered. They're kept safe in the ark, just as God had promised. You see, Noah was not free to invent his own means of rescue. Noah only had one source. There's only one way that Noah could be saved. That was trusting in the God-appointed means of deliverance. So it is, you and I only have one source, one option if we will be saved. It's by being joined to Christ, the divine appointed mediator who rescues us and delivers us from the coming judgment. To conclude, we all do things to prepare for the future. We busy ourselves with plans and preparations for things that sometimes may not even come to be. But of all the plans and preparations that we make, there is one future event that you must be ready for. The master of the house is coming back. The Lord of glory is going to return on the clouds. Noah was ready for the day of judgment. He prepared himself. And he called his neighbors to repent for over 120 years. A preacher of righteousness, and he was found faithful. Noah heard God's word. He believed God's word, even though he didn't see it, and he acted accordingly. So may we, like Noah, trust in God's word. May we believe his promises. When he says destruction is coming, believe it. And may you depend, may you rely on the God-appointed means of deliverance. May we too flee the coming wrath by trusting in Christ to be our shelter from the storm. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder, for this call to faith and obedience. And we do pray, O Lord, that you would soften our hearts, that you would soften the hearts of our neighbors and our co-workers who hear, who see, and yet refuse to believe. For creation and even our words and works declare this truth. An end is coming. May it be evident in our lives that we are living in light of this certain future. May the impending day of judgment cause us to keep the things of this world in proper perspective. May we not work to gain this world and lose our souls, but rather may we find rest and refuge, may we find rescue in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In his name we pray. Amen.